There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Very pleased to have in the studio with us Saga Sabai, Head of Government and Regulatory Relations, APAC and Middle East at Ripple. He's here for the STEF conference in town, based in Singapore. Very good morning to you, Saga. Thanks for coming
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
Let's have a look at Ripple, because earlier, about half an hour ago, I was talking, saying you were coming in, and I just slipped into, and I said Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because I was using Bitcoin as a generic word for cryptocurrencies, rather like some people would say Hoover for vacuum cleaners. Yeah. And I slipped into that. I didn't realize I would have done. But I did. Is that a problem for Ripple as the number two currency? Do people sort of think of you as sort of Bitcoin Mark II?
Not really. I think this was the case back in the days, 5-6 years ago. But I think now people have a clear understanding of how XRP, which is Ripple's digital asset, Ripple digital asset, is different from some of the other currencies out there. And look, we have come a long way since the early days of Bitcoin. Back in the day, the story was down with the governments, down with central banks, down with banks. Ripple took a very contrarian approach and said, look, we will work with banks and work with central banks to solve a very focused problem, which is cross-border payments. And that is where we are trying to solve a big problem globally.
It's what's done pretty well for Ripple, really, because Bitcoin, much pilloried by central banks and regulatory authorities around the world, Ripple just got on with it and worked. And you work with quite a lot of big companies here.
Absolutely.
In Dubai as well. What do you actually do? Name some of the companies, if you can, and what do you do for them?
Sure. So I'll answer the second question first.
Yeah.
So Ripple we are trying to create a what we call the Internet of Value, where we can move money like we move information today. Like we send emails or WhatsApp messages in a matter of seconds, real time, efficiently and seamlessly. That is what we are trying to build, because we believe that cross-border payments today is broken. I mean, it's amazing that I can stream video from a space station to Earth real time, but it still takes me 2 to 3 days to send money from one country to the other. So this is the problem that we are trying to solve, and we are trying to create this Internet of Value.
And this is where you're working with companies like UAE Exchange, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes.
Not so much on the cryptocurrency side, but on the blockchain, the underneath fundamentals.
Absolutely.
What are you actually doing with UAE Exchange?
Absolutely. So we recently signed up with UAE Exchange and also Rack Bank in UAE. And basically, we are helping them send money out of Dubai to countries like India, Philippines, Bangladesh, and some of the other countries, real time and seamlessly. Because we need to understand there is a huge workforce from India, Bangladesh, Philippines, in UAE. And for them, sending money is not a matter of convenience, but it's a matter of life and death. And they need to send money as early as possible and transparently and seamlessly.
Who else are you working for, apart from UAE Exchange and Rack Bank? Who else are you doing?
So we are in talks with a lot of banks and also central banks in the region. So recently we signed up a partnership with SAMA, which is the Monetary Authority of Saudi Arabia. Under that agreement, Saudi Arabian banks will be using our technology again for cross-border payments.
Now, if I was a bank, I might think, well, actually, you know, you guys are going to come in and you're going to make cross-border transactions via blockchain cheaper, mm-hmm. more transparent. That takes away some of my profitability. Therefore, I won't talk to you. So the banks are actually saying, well, okay, this is the way we're going to go, we might as well cash in. We want to be first talking to these guys. What I don't understand is how it works, because obviously if you're using blockchain, the underlying mm-hmm. technology for most of the cryptocurrencies, you would presumably also be using your own crypto coin offering here, which is the Ripple XRP. Is that correct?
That's right.
In this process, which means that you have to translate dirhams into your XRPs. You send it on blockchain to the other end. Those XRPs are then changed into the receiving country's currency, so rupee, for instance, in the same mm-hmm. case of India. All of these extra transactions are taking commissions out, correct? It may be good for you, it may be good for the bank. What mm-hmm. about for me as the customer? Because you're mm-hmm. taking huge chunks out of my money
okay.
along the way.
So first of all, I need to make it very clear that the solutions that we're offering currently does not use the digital asset XRP. So the solutions that Rack Bank and UAE Exchange are using do not include the cryptocurrency bit. It's a blockchain-based software using which Rack Bank can connect with any other bank on the Ripple network and make transactions real-time and seamless.
So if there's a UAE rupee exchange rate then it will be at that rate. You're not going to put it into another currency and then
That's right. So in the current system, banks depend upon pre-funded account relationships, so that stays. Now, the XRP bit comes into play at a long, it's a long-term strategic solution, and we are using that XRP as a bridge currency, trying to replace the Nostro Vostro account, which is extremely expensive in the current environment. But again, for that, we need more clarity around regulations. And once there is a regulatory framework globally, that is when banks will get more comfortable using a digital asset.
I guess so, because at the moment, obviously, a lot of the UAE banks don't have counterparty relationships. So they go through one of the big banks in a country they're sending it to, and then exactly. they send it out through there. So this will actually bypass that Absolutely. Receiving bank.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're the regional head of government and regulatory relations.
Yep.
What does that involve? Are you trying to convince governments not to be too hard with regulations?
Well, so there are two components, really. So as I said, we have two solutions. So one is for me to work with the governments, educate them about how our solution is different from some of the existing solution and how the blockchain bit does not include the virtual currency part. And I think we have already worked with around 50 plus central banks globally, and almost all banks have given us their blessings, and we are already live in more than 100 countries across the globe. The second bit is to work on the virtual currency side and basically educate them about the difference between the retail use case of virtual currency and the enterprise use case of virtual currency. And how XRP is very different from some of the other currencies out there like Bitcoin and so on. Because we are not trying to replace fiat currency. What we are trying to do is offer a medium for an easy transfer of fiat currency from one country to the other. We are not trying to replace the fiat currency.
Talking cryptocurrency regulation now with Sagar Sabai, who is the head of government and regulatory regulations for this region at Ripple. Thanks for staying with us, Sagar. Well, having a look at your job in particular, because your job is to work with governments and to work with regulatory bodies. Are you concerned about the regulations that we're seeing and the statements of worry that we're hearing from a lot of big financial players about cryptocurrencies in general?
Yeah, not really. In fact, if anything, I'm very positive about the new regulations coming in, because I think that would be really good for the entire ecosystem. I think what we are now seeing is a classic innovation cycle play out. So in the early days of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, there were some early movers. So bodies like Japan FSA and the Financial Action Task Force, they came up with certain guidelines on how to regulate virtual currencies. And then what we saw was a phase of fear and uncertainty when countries and governments saw that a lot of retail investors were putting in hard-earned money to gamble and speculate on cryptocurrencies. And that is when there was this environment of fear and uncertainty. And then there was this calls coming out on banning cryptocurrencies. So that was not a very good phase. But again, that is part of the innovation life cycle. That's exactly what happened in the internet era as well.
But it's also when we see the prices drop.
Yes, yes. But that's good as far as I'm concerned. So what we are now seeing this year is that governments have actually taken a more mature step forward, and they are proactively thinking of how to regulate this market without stifling innovation. And this is where I'm seeing the third phase of innovation life cycle play out, which is maturity and global coordination.
But you're going to need a lot of self-regulation within Ripple, because unlike Bitcoin, you're not created, you're not mined. You just release it if you fancy releasing
yes.
it. How do we trust you
to
do that?
Sure. So we are actually regulated. So we sell XRP through a subsidiary called XRP2, which is already regulated by the US regulator. So we do have a license, and we're regulated under the FinCEN, and also have a BIT license. So we are already regulated in the US, and we sell our XRP through a regulated entity. To your question around us holding a lot of XRP, 55 billion to be precise, what we have done is we have put those XRPs in an escrow account. And Ripple, the company, cannot really touch it. And every month we get a billion XRP for us to sell. And the proceeds we get from the sales, we use it to build our company, build our resources, and build the larger ecosystem in general.
What do you make of Facebook, Twitter, and Google banning advertisements for cryptocurrencies?
I think this may be a slightly controversial comment to say, but I think that's good. Because I think there were a lot of scam tokens, scam coins out there. And I think with Google and Facebook clamping down on advertisements, I think that is really good news for the ecosystem. This would really separate the wheat from the chaff, and the real winners will emerge, coins which have actual utility and not trying to scam people.
Well, listen, we really appreciate you coming into the studio this morning. Sagar Sabah, who's here for the STEP conference in Dubai from Singapore, where he is the head of government and regulatory relations for APAC Middle East at Ripple, one of the big cryptocurrencies. We really appreciate you coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Hope you'll visit us again next time you're in the city.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for coming in.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.